Now we'll have a reading of Scripture from 1 John 4. God is love, and those who remain in love remain in God, and God remains in them. This is how love has been perfected in us, so that we can have confidence on the judgment day, because we are exactly the same as God is in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear expects punishment. The person who is afraid has not been made perfect in love. The Word of God. Oh, I'm sorry. We have a few more verses. We love because God first loved us. Those who say, "I love God," and hate their brothers or sisters are liars. After all, those who don't love their brothers or sisters whom they have seen can hardly love God whom they have not seen. This commandment we have from him: those who claim to love God ought to love their brother and sister also. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Again, I just want to point out, I'm not sure how much of a deal I've made out of this, but every Sunday this month, I've used this.
The water drop and the ripples, and that was, it's supposed to represent God's expansive love, just expanding out into everything. That's what we've been focusing on this past month. And just a little bit of reminder, the first week of the month, just introduced that idea of God's expansive, all-encompassing love. When he declares to Moses, "I am the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love," this hesed love, this Hebrew word that's just loyal, faithful love, abounding in that and in faithfulness, maintaining this love to thousands and forgiving wickedness and rebellion and sin. And remembering Paul's prayer, I pray that you could comprehend along with all the other believers how wide and high and long and deep is the love of God, and to be filled with all of the fullness of God. So the next week we looked at 1 John 3. Even if our hearts condemn us, even if we have doubts or self-condemnation, God is greater than our hearts. God's grace is greater than our doubts. He knows all things. He knows who we are and who we are created to be. So we can approach God with confidence, and we can ask and we can receive, because God is a good God who hears our prayers. This expansive love that receives us. And then last week we looked at, in the midst of the anger, the resentment, the hate, the mistrust, the dark passions that are stewing in the midst of our land, we can show something different. We can have that impulse of love that cascades, just again, like that, those water ripples out into our community. They can see how we love each other. It's something different. They can see how we offer this love into our community. They can see how we interact and speak differently to people. How when love grows cold, we stand with those who are hurting, those who are treated unjustly. So again, that cascading love. And then today we're going to talk about that love of God that overcomes and casts out fear wherever fear can be found. So let's look at that this morning. And I think it'd be good if you could think already now, is there some kind of persistent fear that you carry? And just let that sit there and let these words speak to that. Or we could even ask, what do we fear as a congregation? You know, how does the love of God speak to us? So I want to go back to the first part of this. I think that's big enough to read. I'm going to read this again, and then I'm going to ask you, what have you heard here that you've already heard in our study of 1 John? So from 16 to 18, it says, "God is love. Whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected, with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment. Because as he is, so also are we in this world. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment. Whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. So I'm just going to offer, what have you heard before?
What phrases, what ideas have we spoken of probably many times in the past 6 weeks?
Confidence.
Yeah, we talked about confidence. God is love. You know, he's the very essence of love. One word, I especially use this version because it has it in, instead of remains. Abides. Yeah, that whole idea of abiding, when we abide in God, we're abiding in that love. And we've seen before, just the whole idea of being perfected in love, or love somehow being completed, being filled out more and more. God in his perfect love wants that love to be completed or filled in us and in creation. So I think that's a lot of what we talked about. Just a lot here about that word perfected or completed. That when love fills everything, fear has no room. You know, fear is cast out. So we want to get into that a little bit more today. So fear, I've seen already that fear is described as the opposite of love. I don't know if any of you have ever heard that. We typically say hate is the opposite of love. But some would say fear is the polar opposite. Love extends outward. Love is generous. Love includes. Love is intimate. Whereas fear is like pulling back. Fear is retracting. Fear is protecting. Fear is being insecure. Fear is withdrawing, letting go of connections, ignoring, all those kinds of things. Love reaches, fear retracts and pulls back. Fear is where there's a lack of security. There's some kind of threat to us. And it's the reaction that we have, especially when love isn't present. Adam and Eve in the garden, they just had this wonderful relationship with God. They walked in the garden with God. And in that moment of, eating that apple, from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, all of a sudden, they hide from God. They retract. Fear drives them or leads them away from God. So I want to think about, just think about fear for a bit and what we fear. And just to be true to the text here, the fear, especially that's talked about, is the fear of judgment. The fear that somehow I'm not worthy before God. I don't have God's favor. I will face God's punishment. That's the specific thing here that John is dealing with. And we might have that ultimate fear. Am I worthy before God? There's also something I became aware of again this week during our LMC leadership meetings. One of the days, part of our one session was about just asking, what's the state of our hearts as leaders in particular that day? And the exercise we did is, the question was, where might Jesus need to do some healing in our hearts? And they had a list of lies or agreements we might make in our heart, things that we believe about God that really aren't true. And while we would all in our heads say, I know God is love, there might be some things deeper within us that drive how we act, that show that maybe there is a bit of fear there of God. And let me give you some examples. Like, one of the things that I have to deal with is, sometimes I have that sense, God loves me because of what I do or what I accomplish, especially what I accomplish for him. And I know God's love is bigger than that, but still there's something in me that still at times thinks, am I accomplishing enough for God? can God look at me with favor, you know, and maybe act accordingly. Other things might be just that my life is such a wreck that God just can't love me. You know, God can't fully accept me, or just a sense of scarcity, or there's just not enough. God isn't sufficient enough to provide. I'm worried about whether God is faithful enough to care for me, or even like God's ready to strike. You know, I think having that fear, especially if in the past those who supposedly love us would strike out at us, we might project that onto God. So we can carry some of these things within us that need healing, and some of our responses to those false ideas of God are we might withdraw from God. I'm like Adam, you know, Adam, where are you? You're hiding from me. Or we become defensive. We strike back at God in anger. Or we become judgmental of others. Like if I'm feeling bad, I'm going to look for others who are even worse in the sight of God, you know, out of my fear of how God is perceiving me. I want others to be perceived as even worse, you know, that somehow that will make me feel better. But all these, you can just tell they're just wrong responses, fear responses. There's this idea that, and I think Claire mentioned it in his opening, just that idea of just being in survival mode brings out fears. You know, will I survive? And when that part of our brain is activated, when we're full of fear, there's a number of responses, and they all begin with F's, just like fear. We can fight or flight. You know, we can attack or we can flee from whatever that threat feels to be in our life. Or we can freeze. We can just be paralyzed in fear. Or the other one that I always forget about is fawn. We can become an appeaser or a people pleaser to kind of make things work out okay in the midst of my fear. And so these are just some of the, and you can just imagine all the ways, all the ways that this affects our relationships and the things we talked about last week with some of the ugliness that's going on in our world right now. Or we can be immersed in the love of God, as the scripture suggests to us. And in that first song, this was the opening song, there was a particular phrase there or stanza, and it basically speaks the message today. I will build my life upon your love, God. It's a firm foundation. And I will put my trust in you alone, and I will not be shaken. Just that sense of security and being held and being loved and being immersed in the love of God. There's a video going out around right now. It's of a guy who runs an amusement park ride. And I don't know, like for amusement park rides, some of them are meant to create fear, you know, roller coasters. And for me, when I sit in that seat and that contraption clicks in, that just feels right. You know, like, okay, I'm being held. I don't need to worry. Well, in these video threads that he sends out, he's operating this ride. It's just a drop. You know, you're sitting there, all of a sudden, bam, you're just dropped straight down. And he'll do things like, after they sit down, he's working at his thing and he says, oh, it's still showing red on the seatbelt indicator. And then he'll hit like drop. You know, they're fine, but he says something to make them wonder whether they're strapped in, or, you know, oh, I'm so dumb, I forgot the shoulder straps. And then he drops it. And just to give them that sense of just total insecurity. I'm not being held and I'm being dropped. So I'm speaking the opposite of that, you know, that total insecurity,
the opposite of that would be feeling that sense of being held, being immersed in God's care, a trustworthy God, a God who loves us. Psalm 91, whoever dwells in the shadow of the Most High will rest, whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God in whom I trust. In the amplified version of our scripture, in verse 18, in the second part of 18, it's written, so the one who is afraid, or the one who fears, is not perfected in love. And then in parentheses, the Amplified Bible always has these little commentary in parentheses to help understand. That person has not grown into a sufficient understanding of God's love. And so that's our challenge. We can't just flip a switch and all of a sudden just sense the total immersion or security, protective arms of God in all things in the midst of our fears. But it's something more and more that we can grow into. And that's what I want to kind of close here with. Just how might we grow towards and into that perfection of love, the fullness, the completeness of God's love, and sensing that and living that in our lives. And so just like I said several weeks ago, first of all, with God's expansive love, we can be more deliberately trying to comprehend it. Like Paul, I pray you might comprehend this incomprehensible thing, the height and the depth and the width and the length of God's love. But begin to more and more notice it, meditate on it, declare it, of God's steadfast love, just increasing our awareness that God's arms are open wide, in mercy. You know, John writes, confess your sins. He's faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Just, more and more comprehending, being aware of God's perfect love. But trust and experiencing love in the midst of fear, it can't just be something we ponder and meditate on. It's something we step into. We live it. We experience it. And then, yes, now I know God's faithful love in the midst of my fears. And the more we step out in the midst of our fears, the more we comprehend that God truly is faithful to us. I have this little, plaque on my, bureau dresser. Courage is fear that has said its prayers. You know, in the midst of our fears, as we step into them, when we face our fears with the security of God's love, fear begins to lose its power. And it might be hard as we step into our fears to really know that God's love is surrounding us. But one way that we experience it in a human dimension is when you have something fearful to face and people surround you in that. When you're given a talk before people and you're scared to death of being in that public space to speak, and you look down and the first two rows are all your family and friends just saying, you know, you got this. You're going to do great. You know, there's something about being surrounded by that love that allows you to courageously face your fears. Yesterday in our, at the LMC leaders meeting yesterday, I went to a seminar about the ministry, that EMM has had in Tanzania. And I thought it'd be interesting, especially because Don and Judy were there. But when the first missionaries went over, they sailed out of New York. And a group of, I think, 75 people from the Lancaster area took a train up there with them, actually went on the boat, on the ship with them, and just like surrounded them in support and prayer because they're about to face this daunting challenge of going to this other side of the world to a place that's not yet really been settled much and just surely facing a lot of fears, even as they might have a lot of excitement about that. But to have these people surround them and send them off, they could face those fears with courage because they're surrounded by that love, you know. And if we can do that humanly, surely God will give us a sense and a manifestation of his love as we're facing fearful things. And then the other thing, like John is all about, it's not just experiencing the and being filled with the love of God. If that love of God has filled you, if it's being made more and more complete in you, it's going to be shown by how you love other people, you know. And you constantly, it's the proof of the love within us being made perfect is how we love others. And I just thought about when we can be a person or a people who love others, in the midst of that, I believe our fears are dispelled. When our life becomes all about loving others, in the midst of that, somehow fears are diminished. One example that another seminar I was at yesterday was about cultural diversity, and Bishop Al Motley shared about more and more in our particular conference, there's churches from other cultural backgrounds coming in. It's not just Lancaster County churches from a European background. But just this challenge in the midst of this diversity to listen, to respect differences, to practice humility, to be sincere, you know, to love the other, crossing cultures. That to me seems like it's going to dispel the fears we have of those people who are different than us. And whether that's within the church or in the community, when our impulse is love, and we begin to get to know and bless others, the fears that we have in the midst of that can be dispelled. So, that to me needs more fleshing out in my mind, and I just offer that to you. Like, when we love others, how does that diminish fear within our hearts? Think about that, what that would look like in your life. When your life becomes an outpouring of love, how does that, what does that do to the fear that we might hold within us? So just want to conclude with this thought, this challenge that Paul gives to Timothy. God hasn't given us a spirit of fear. That's not coming from God, but a spirit of power, a spirit of love, a spirit of self-control. May we carry that as we are more and more perfected in love through Christ Jesus. Amen.